This week in the parish of Bourses and Market Structure, CFTC finding old markets, SIBO buys into Japan next, is an NSEL resolution looming, and Euronext's Edisonian mojo. 50 years on, we're celebrating legislation which helped secure a wall of money for US stocks and bonds. My name is Patrick L. Young. Welcome to the Bourse Business Weekly Digest. It's the Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast, episode 126. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very brief reduction of highlights amongst the key headlines from the week in market structure. All the analysis of the many events and happenings from the past 7 days can be found in Exchange Invest Daily Subscriber Newsletter, the unique guide to the bourse business sent daily to your inbox. More details at exchangeinvest.com. In parish notes this week, I was delighted to join Flashboy Ronan Ryan and John Ramsey during my recent New York City trip. Fresh from some campanology at NYSE, chatting with Jen Ilkew on the NYSE floor et al., I headed towards IEX HQ for a great podcast and episode of Boxes and Lines, which IEX themselves have blurbed thus. Y2K wasn't the end of the world, and neither, Patrick L. Young believes, is AI. Listen to the latest episode of Boxes and Lines, where the Exchange Invest newsletter publisher and author of Capital Market Revolution explains to Ronan Ryan and John Ramsey why lateral thinking in financial markets is both a blessing and a curse. Listen here, and you can find a link in the show notes to the IEX podcast, The Revolution Turns 25, Patrick L. Young on Markets, FinTech, and What's Next, via Boxes and Lines. Over in BitCarnage, Psychopaths Distributed went one of our headlines this week. Rarely have I encountered a headline I fear is more apt for crypto. Crypto ownership linked to dark traits like psychopathy. Study has said, according to Decrypt, will I sound too much like Mark Antony via William Shakespeare if I say, but Sam Bankman-Fried is an honourable man. Beyond psychopaths, a mixed week for dictators who are adopting Bitcoin in different stages. While Nicolas Maduro, the probably not as legitimate as he thinks Venezuelan president, is smarting from losing his PJ to US agents who repossessed it in the Dominican Republic, just as the bus driver turned leader of Venezuela was endorsing the notion of cozying up to crypto. Maduro's attempt to distribute domestic debate away from his stolen election followed the admission by President Bukele, something that has been plain to see ever since he announced his crypto-centric republic. A headline again from Decrypt: El Salvador president admits Bitcoin adoption has fallen short. Meanwhile, the consistent big winners in crypto remain the lawyers. Insolvency alone has been a bonanza, as Cointelegraph notes. Crypto bankruptcies net law firms $751 million in fees. If you enjoyed this excerpt, you may be interested to know you can read BitCarnage every day on Exchange Invest. Alternatively, if you want to follow BitCarnage, the daily update on happenings in the world of crypto and digital assets, you can find BitCarnage as a standalone on Substack. A little more than a decade later, there might be a chance of an FTIL settlement to NSEL, as promised within T plus several of the original crises around T plus 3,800 days ago. Or is this the ultimate end of season, silly season story in the Hindu business line headlined 63 Moons get offer to settle NSEL default? 63 Moons, incidentally formerly FTIL, have been selling assets recently. 135 crore rupee has been raised, that's a little over $16 million, but that falls far short of the total 5,600 crore ascribed to the scam, although, of course, some payments have already been made. Over in the USA, NYSE international listings guru Stefan Yeckel had a great piece on LinkedIn, a different perspective on the size of the US capital markets. Stefan was pointing out that we can celebrate September the 2nd, 1974, as the day the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, ERISA, entered US federal law. Stefan went on to note that ERISA formed the base, which led to the 401k, that was part of the 1978 Revenue Act, and thus began the explosion in US retirement funds. The US had 63.9% of the $56 trillion in global retirement assets spread amongst the world's 22 largest private pension markets by the end of 2023. Can anybody criticise the success of the 401k and its savers, let alone the power of the markets, which have been funded by this vast wall of money? Speaking of vast walls of money, that brings us to collateral and a great NASDAQ report, why CCPs need to prepare for the new global collateral management paradigm. Interesting analysis and a useful JPX case study at a time when, as ever, CCP is changing rapidly. For further reading after the excellent NASDAQ resources, you might want to check out my white paper, Towards a Real-Time World Market, published in November 2015 and sponsored by Cinnober before they were acquired by NASDAQ. Via the financial news in London, we read the headline, Euronext wants to be the European exchange for everything. Euronext are pushing away and continue to outperform from the constraints of their birth charter. I applaud their advocacy of Edison's mantra, everything comes to he who hustles as he waits. Also hustling from the City of London, the LME are making some very interesting pieces of progress, evolving the market structure to enhance liquidity, working assiduously to tweak the world's most famous metals market. The FT ran a headline, Citadel Securities leads a fight over payments for market surveillance system. Hashtag it's complicated. However, the notion that the capital expense for the CAT had to fall on the exchanges amounted to a ragtag compromise, which was not the SEC's finest hour. At the same time, no intermediary likes paying for services, and least of all to exchanges, it seems, and the ongoing user frustration is that exchanges levy egregiously profitable fees. On the other hand, one might equally argue that $10 payment for order flow is a pretty handy sum compared to the cents or fractions thereof paid for trades on US equity exchanges. Others would say that's comparing apples with oranges. There was a lot more discussion on this topic in Exchange Invest this week. Meanwhile, the South China Morning Post had an exclusive, the Hong Kong Exchange's cap on independent directors' tenure, sparking debate amidst the economic turmoil in the SAR caused by the recession on the mainland. I can absolutely see the concern about the length of tenure for INEDs. However, I'm not entirely convinced of short fixed limits for all independent non-executives, even the 9 years being proposed by HKEX, which is hardly extreme. After all, the UK has a doctrinaire six-year approach that actually leads to management being able to game the system by reshuffling directors. That said, all directors serving for a near lifetime, akin to, say, picking a name at random, CME Group, is not a great approach either. Where HKEX is on entirely sensible terrain is restricting the number of boards an INED can be appointed to at six. A key issue here, of course, may relate to board remuneration. Again, there was a lot more on this topic in Exchange Invest this week, ladies and gentlemen. You can sign up for a subscription, $375 per user year, and hey presto, we'll even give you 7 free days to trial the product so you can understand why the business of bourses is best with PLY Pith. Head over to exchangeinvest.com to sign up for your subscription forthwith and support this podcast as well. Thank you very much. The European Union, meanwhile, that's in hot water. There's a plan there for buying key commodities. The centralised commodities platform is Overreach, warned a series of tech groups and indeed competing commodity platforms. It's a remarkable, that's spelled D-U-M-B, intervention at precisely the moment the European Union already can't cope with its existing briefs. It's seeking to create a new series of lakes and vaults to go with wine and agri stuff created through the exits of subsidy policies past. Now Brussels wants to take one platform, compete with the free market, and will trade technical markets like gas and much more nascent hydrogen, or indeed rare earths and rare metals, as things it has the propensity and ability to trade. What could possibly go wrong? Actually, sorry, let's park the sarcasm and opt for realism. What can possibly go right? Meanwhile, the Dmitry Galanov-led 24 Exchange has filed amended application documents with the SEC seeking approval for its de facto always-on US stock exchange. One great piece of news from the CFTC, they've granted a Kalshi Clear, a DCO registration. So therefore, Kalshi is now a futures exchange, a designated contract market, and a designated clearing organisation, a CCP, for that business. The tricky part is just what content it is allowed to list, given the regressive anti-prediction market policies of the Benamira CFTC. Anyway, another milestone passed. Congratulations to Tarek, Mansour and team. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast. In results, it was a busy week for results in the parish. All the details were in Exchange Invest Daily, the newsletter no person can afford to be without in capital markets and market structure. So therefore, let's head straight over to deals. Also a busy week. The highlights this week, SIBO acquired a 14.8% minority interest in Japan Next. SBL's stake is being transferred to SIBO, strengthening the SIBO Asian footprint. Meanwhile, deals not happening. The Moscow Exchange is eager to point out it's not planning to buy a broker and it's not planning to create a crypto exchange either. Exchange Invest is proud to have launched a special edition inspired by my visit to ring the closing bell at the New York Stock Exchange on July 5th, 2024. Patrick L. Young's original bestseller, Capital Market Revolution, the first breakthrough book in fintech a decade before that word held common currency, has over 10,000 new words of additional pith, placing the past quarter century in perspective alongside the original text, which has proven remarkably successful through the years. Capital Market Revolution 25th Anniversary Edition is published by Exchange Invest and is now available as an ebook via Amazon Kindle at the ludicrously reasonable price of $9.99, a quarter the price of the original, shorter print book a quarter century ago. Meanwhile, excitement happening. IPOVID is back, ladies and gentlemen, on Tuesday. That's going to be 5 o'clock London time, midday New York time, 6 o'clock CET, the IPO video live show. Catch the back episodes in the meantime on LinkedIn and YouTube via IPO-VID. Coming on Tuesday, it's going to be IPOVID number 151 with Bjorn Sibbern, a returning guest. Last time he came, he was the boss of Nasdaq in Europe. This time, he's the boss of markets at SIX, the Swiss exchange. We're going to be discussing SIX, the Swiss paradigm, with our old friend Bjorn Sibbern. Looking forward to it on Tuesday. Don't miss that IPOVID, which will be coming to you live on Facebook, LinkedIn, and of course, also YouTube. Our finance book of the week this week is from another former guest of the IPOVID. Johan Norberg was our IPOVID 125 guest when he was talking about the Capitalist Manifesto. Open, the Story of Human Progress by Johan Norberg, makes a compelling case for why an open world with an open economy is worth fighting for more than ever. And don't forget, if you want all the news on the bourse business sent daily to your inbox, subscribe to Exchange Invest via exchangeinvest.com. It's only $375 per annum to join the exchange of information. If you'd like to learn when's going to be the book of the week and what that book of the week is, the earliest moment to find out is unveiled in our Saturday EI Weekend Edition. EI Weekend Edition, incidentally, is, and this seems to be absolutely mad, free, absolutely free. It's a macro read, not about the exchange universe per se, so you might find that somewhat of interest. You can sign up for that at exchangeinvest.com as well. Product news this week. Well, lots of battles going on in Nordic Power Futures, with people beating their chests and saying that theirs is going to be the best product, whether it's EEX, or whether it is Euronext, or whether indeed it's the incumbent Nasdaq, which of course was not able to sell its business to the EEX earlier this year because of EU antitrust. Over in Hong Kong, they've started trading weekly options on Hang Seng Tech Index, which is a great piece of news. The Shanghai Futures Exchange equally have launched four more metals options on lead, nickel, tin and alumina, and the Rwanda Bourse is allowing the trading of a new asset class or two, namely ETFs and REITs, real estate investment trusts. Then, in a week where ICE launched a new suite of indices for Australian residential mortgage-backed securities markets, well, ICE may prove excellence if only everything were as good for markets down under. That brings us neatly to technology news, albeit a very unneat story. An article in Inside Story AU, the ASX's Chess Checkmate, is an excellent review of the ASX chess mess. The director fees for failure alone that it points out are egregious. At $375,000 per annum, no wonder Chairman Roche is hanging on till the bitter end. And bitter it will prove. The author, Helen Bird, of this article made a fabulous submission to the Oz Parliament previously on this fiasco, which we applauded in Exchange Invest episode 2964. Over in Kenya, the NSE have shelved their 120 million shilling technology upgrade on cost implications, while the SEC of Sri Lanka is going to be acquiring a new market surveillance system. Interesting deal in technology too, facing a platform shutdown. The former IEX cloud head, Tim Baker, has bought the assets along with a couple of compatriots in an 11th hour bid. All the very best to Tim Baker and his new team assembling a new future for the IEX cloud assets. Over in regulation, well, first of all, disappointment. The CFTC have ordered Nasdaq Futures Inc. to pay $22 million for core principal violations, blah, 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 blah. Caroline Pham naturally dissented. In an odd but lucrative regulatory move, the CFTC have fined Dead Market NFX for apparent infractions from 2015 to 2018. Long live low latency markets and low latency regulation. NLX, on the other hand, a decade ago, abject engaged in misleading conduct, and UK-US regulators did nothing when there was a clear case to answer, with that platform's management willfully misleading the market about what was happening and spending lavishly on the trade press, not a Hays & Dad Exchange Invest, to deliver what was a false message. Speaking of false messages, the FIA have come out in favour of markets against the European Union, at last. The FIA outlines how successful derivatives markets will attract investor interest and support the enhancement of the CMU, went their release this week alongside a white paper helped along by FIA members being unable to avoid spotting an EUEC, which believes it is a mandate to send exchange-traded derivatives and capital markets back to the Stone Age. FIA is hitting back in a sensibly diplomatic format. That said, there is one devastating pull quote, noting, in 2023, 89 futures exchanges facilitated 137 billion futures and options contracts. Exchanges across the EU handled approximately 3.5% of that activity. When FIA surmises it that way, perhaps the EU is already in the Stone Age. Its suicidal recent policies suggestions have been advocating. I'm going to say that all again because it's gibberish. When the FIA surmises it that way, perhaps it's clear the EU could already be in the Stone Age, its suicidal recent policy suggestions have been advocating. There was again, of course, a great deal more on this story in this week's Exchange Invest for subscribers. Drop by exchangeinvest.com to sign up now and support this podcast. In career paths, Ahmed El Sheikh has been reappointed as Egypt's EGX chairman, therefore managing a second term, something his predecessor didn't quite manage. And the PSX in Pakistan has appointed Nadeem Naqvi as interim CEO. He was, in fact, actually the former PSX MD. He's returning an interim CEO. Naqvi was in office from 2011 to 2017 as CEO of PSX, and now he'll be interim CEO until November the 30th. Meanwhile, where Afghanistan was clearly the nadir of the Biden administration's correlation with competence, perceived by many to be a sub-zero relationship, matters in the Middle East have not been markedly improving. The $230 million humanitarian pier that the Americans moored off the coast of Gaza was a centrepiece of Joe Brezhnev's State of the Union speech in March. The project has since been mothballed after a spend so lavish, arguably only ASX chess replacements could rival it from the parish for spend and epic lack of successful execution. Tricky points with the project included the platform not being built to withstand inclement weather. Who knew that the 2.5 million square kilometre Mediterranean Sea was apparently not compliant with permacalm waters required for the platform to stay in situ and above the waves? Thus, some sections of the causeway broke off and washed up on the Frischmann beach, frequented by sunbathers in Tel Aviv. Fortunately for some, the platform did operate for a few days. In the first week, 75% of the aid delivered was stolen by Palestinian terrorists on the way to a UN warehouse. As noted in Big World, July the 1st and June the 6th in Exchange Invest, it would appear the efficacy of government military spending has drifted somewhat since D-Day, June the 6th, 1944. And on that mysterious and magnificent note, thank you for listening to this Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast 261. Join us daily via exchangeinvest.com, or if you have a new exchange you would like built, get in touch. My name is Patrick L. Young, and I wish you a great week in life and markets. The
this show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our programme, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.